You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Laura Satsui. You've likely seen the green California sticker with the words, "My job depends on ag," on cars, trucks, and tractors around the valley. Behind that slogan is a Facebook community of farmers and ag enthusiasts. And now they have a TV show. It premiered this week on Valley PBS and is called American Grown, My Job Depends on Ag. Today, I'm speaking with Jeff Aiello, executive producer on the show, which started its season with the sticker. So Jeff, for those listeners who don't know, how do you explain the My Job Depends on Ag movement?
I became aware of the movement when I did a film, a documentary for Valley PBS a couple of years ago called Tapped Out, which was a water documentary. And as I started working with some of the people that were in that film, I had always seen the little green sticker on people's car windows, the decals, like Green California and the white My Job Depends on Ag lettering on it. First of all, I thought the logo was sort of like rough. Like I thought it's not well designed from a graphic standpoint. But then the more I looked at it, the more I liked it and I loved it. And then I started meeting the people that were flying it on their trucks when I started doing this film. And so when I did Tapped Out, we turned the camera off and these guys would say, "Man, do you know about all this other stuff that's going on that we're on, you know, that agriculture is sort of under an attack in?" And I didn't know a lot of those stories. So that's sort of what the movement, to answer your question, how do you explain the movement? In episode one, which premiered on Valley PBS this week, it's really about a frustration. It was born from a frustration from agriculture that they were being painted in a bad light blunt about it, by the hardcore environmental left. I believe there's environmentalists on both sides of the aisle. There's a lot of farmers that would tell you that they're probably the original environmentalists. There's a lot of hardcore extreme leftist environmentalists that would like roll their eyes at that want to see agriculture go away for, you know, globalization purposes. We'll just import our food from other countries without really understanding like what that means, what that exposes you to. And so that was really what the movement was born from, was that desire to have unification with all growers in the valley, and then to try to get the message out there that agriculture isn't a giant waster of water, doesn't pollute the environment, that they're actually just trying to grow our food source.
I want to say the show opens with one of your farmers giving this statistic: 17 million Americans believe chocolate milk comes from brown cows. I heard it and I laughed and then thought, wait a second.
That's a real statistic.
Well, so I looked into it. I have to say, I found some conflicting opinions about how that conclusion was drawn. But the sentiment kind of follows, as you said, that people don't understand where their agriculture comes from, or where their food rather, and the industry behind it, especially here in this valley where it's so vibrant. It is such a way of life. And so then when did you decide, between doing Tapped Out and hearing from these farmers and now, when did you decide, I have to tell this story?
I became motivated to tell the stories of agriculture during Tapped Out. My wife, Jill, actually came up with the idea of approaching My Job Depends on Ag, which this was 2 years ago when she had the idea, was already a pretty vibrant social media movement. Okay,
right, it's a Facebook group, right?
It's a Facebook group that now is sneaking up on, I think, 90,000 followers. So it's not a small group. And she was the one that said, because we started paying attention to their Facebook page. We started looking at it and we were starting to see these really great stories in there. And so she just was, she came up with the idea of like, let's do a TV show on these stories, not necessarily about the movement. And that's a thing that I think is really important for your listeners to understand. This TV series, although the first episode is about the movement, the other nine that are in the season are really about the stories that the movement inspired people to tell. And that's what's important. Our second episode, which airs next Wednesday night, is all about drone technology and agriculture. And it's very apolitical, and it's very cool and interesting. And we show you how drones are being used on farms right now. And we also feature some kids from Cal Poly San Luis Obispo that designed a beautiful drone that flies, lands, and then has tracks on it and drives around. It can take soil samples. And this was designed by kids that are not agricultural in their background, which is what I love that part of the story. You know, to go back to your opening, your question about the 17 million people, think chocolate milk comes from brown cows. That's actually a statistic from the Dairy Advisory board. And whether it's accurate or not, we can argue. But the bottom line is that there's a giant disconnect between our urban areas and specifically our younger urban populations and where their food comes from. And to me, that was what spoke to me as to why to do this show.
You mentioned earlier sometimes the being unsure about where agriculture comes from and environmentalists somehow end up on one side and farmers end up on the other side. But is this show interested in at all in parsing out those politics?
Oh, definitely. This is not going to be a fluff rainbow and, you know,
not just
butterflies.
Beautiful farms.
No, visually we try to celebrate the beauty of agriculture because it is, to me, it's a beautiful thing to look at. But when you speak about environmentalism specifically, because really when you get down to it, the big battle between, if you're going to say there's two sides to this debate, it's going to be between environmentalism and it's going to be between agriculture. And what's puzzled me through this process and puzzles some of the folks in agriculture is why that has to be that way. When you look statistically at California's water use, for instance, the environmental, I hate using the term environmental left. It's not a fair term to use, and it paints too many people that happen to be left politically, but do support ag. So my apologies to any of your listeners out there. That's not what I'm trying to say. But there is an extreme element to either side of the political aisle, right? And on the environmental side of that, you're seeing some of the desire to want to globalize and import food from other countries as a rationale for eliminating agriculture here. And here's my biggest point on that that I try to make. And we're doing that in the show. We're going to dive into this on the show. If you really care deeply about the environment, my question is that just the environment where you live, or do you care about the environment globally? Because if you're going to push agriculture out of this valley, where it is the safest grown food, it's the most regulated grown food in the world. California has the strictest water use policies, the strictest pesticide use policies. So if you're going to say, hey, I think agriculture is hurting the environment, so I want it out of here, all you're doing is externalizing the need for that food to another part of the world where it will be grown far less carefully and will actually hurt the environment. And so I know that the agriculturalists that I speak with and work with here, and we're showing in the show, they are all about, come on to the farm. Let's get to the table and talk. Let's do this together. It's a little lopsided right now. And so that's one of my reasons that I'm passionate about this show, is not to counter what I call false information with other false information. It's just tell the truth and then let the people decide. Okay, so I thought it was really important to not have a host, to not have a narrator. I wanted just the people that are in it to speak. And it's not just all agriculture people. You know, we speak to the NRDC. We're talking to, you know, sustainable conservation in San Francisco. You need to have, when we're getting into political issues, as a producer, I have to have both sides of the argument. I have to have both sides chime in on that.
In the first episode, so we meet the founders of My Job Depends on Ag. We meet people who got involved with the Facebook group. We hear some of these really heartfelt stories. But I noticed that the characters were mostly men and mostly white.
Yeah.
You did have a young farmer, a college student, a young woman who I think was in FFA, and hearing her speak was great. And I was wondering if we'll hear more farmers of color, more women, and other diverse voices to come.
It's a great question. I'm really glad you asked it because I'm big on this issue, by the way. So I can't help the fact that the people that invented My Job Depends on Ag are all white
of
men.
Of course.
Right? So that's how that played out. But it's really important to me to show the diversity of cultures that are part of what I call, and what one of our pillars at Valley PBS now, is agriculture. And the way we internally use that term is we write agra and then we all caps culture. Okay. And so for us, that's really important internally, the way we do that. We do have an episode, the very next episode I talked about, the drone episode. There are people of color in that episode. You're going to see a big diversity in that episode. We do have an episode slated for season two that is nothing but women in farming and how women are really not not just supporting men farmers.
Not just the wives.
No, no, way different than that. And some of the research we looked at and some of the stories we're telling is that it might challenge the old way of thinking that men are better farmers than women, right? Let's have that talk. Because if whoever wins, we all win, right? We get more and better food. You know, one of my favorite episodes that we're going to do, it's going to be the third or fourth episode.
For this season,
is on farm labor and the issues with farm labor in this valley that are really tough. You know, you've got the H-2A program that makes it really hard for folks to come back and forth that want to just live in Mexico but come here and work and then go back home.
Right, so we're talking about farm workers who are primarily people of color, immigrants.
Yes, mm-hmm. And I have one great story from a gentleman in Cutler that we're going to tell as part of this episode whose family is from Mexico. They still live in Mexico. He came over here and started working the fields when he was young. He then saved up enough money to buy his farm labor contracting company from his white owner of that company. So this Mexican kid buys this company and now runs this very successful FLC, farm labor contracting company, in Cutler. And it's a great story. And it's important that we tell those kinds of stories. I think it's important for people to see what I see as the real story when it comes to farm labor, because I spend a lot of time in the fields and I spend a lot of time with growers and workers. And these people are very proud of what they do. I think we need to, in this state, we need to figure out a way to make it easier for the people who want to stay in Mexico but want to come here and work and then go back. And, you know, they're working hard, and they're working hard for their future generations, just like we all do.
Very interesting, especially, I mean, it just makes you consider how agriculture is tied to all these different issues, not just politics, not just environment, but immigration, economy, and so on.
Yeah.
You've mentioned a little bit what we can expect for future episodes, so I won't get into that. But I want to ask, in the last minute we have, setting aside that you are a producer of a show about agriculture, but just maybe as a cinematographer, do you feel that your job depends on ag?
Here's the thing. That's kind of the secret sauce to this whole thing, right? Is all of our jobs, all of our lives sort of depend on ag in ways that we don't consider. You know, you're wearing a really cool sweater right now. Agriculture made that sweater come to life, right? We all eat. Mm-hmm. We all drink water. You live in a house that was probably made of lumber. You know, you have furnishings in your house that probably have cotton in them. So we forget that as a society. I mean, America is one of the richest societies on earth. We are a food rich country, even though we do have a problem with homelessness in places. It's another topic, right? But we are a food rich country. So we take for granted, human beings do this. We take for granted the things that we have a lot of, and we have a lot of money, a lot of wealth in this country, and we have a lot of food everywhere. And so there hasn't been a time in the generations that are in this country right now that had to live through a Great Depression, had to live through food rationing because of war. And so it's easy to forget, as we get into these newer generations, that agriculture touches our lives in ways that a lot of people don't consider. And that's why this movement was started, and that's why we made this TV show.
All right, Jeff Aiello is the executive producer of American Grown, My Job Depends on Ag. You can watch it on Valley PBS. The next episode and every episode thereafter is airing on Wednesday evenings. Jeff, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me. This was awesome.